My one surviving grandparent, my mother's mom, is 95 years old. Her father died in the year 2000 at 98 years old. So there's been a history of longevity in that side of the family. In fact, my great-grandfather knew his grandmother, whose husband fought in the Civil War. It kind of goes like that. So in the family, I've got a 50-50 chance of dying of natural causes. Could be either very old, or could be in my late 60s, early 70s. It could happen either way. But I bring that up because at a large family gathering, a cousin of mine had just had a son, and I asked him, did you bring him to see our great-grandfather? His name was Eli Guidry. And he said, our great-grandfather's still living? I said, yes, he had no idea. In fact, he'd even forgotten that he had a great-grandfather, which is kind of unusual in this part of the country because family ties are usually very, very strong for us. But sadly, it's beginning to unravel bit by bit. It still is good to see many times when young people build their houses not too far from their parents' homes, or those who maybe go away to college or might go out for a job for a few years always come back home to be close to family once again. And that's a good thing, that we still have that great sense of family unity. In biblical times, the sense of family unity wasn't just something spiritual or social, it was also a question of survival. The family was necessary to keep together, to be able to support one another. Fathers always teaching their sons how to survive, to hunt, to fish, to build, to protect. Mothers teaching their daughters to raise children, to keep up a household, and showing how to live. Today, we have children and let somebody else take care of them. We teach them absolutely nothing. But this was never the intention of God. God's intention of building up a society of people always begins with the family. And we see this in the way that he lays out the Ten Commandments. The first three of the commandments out of the ten have to do with our relationship with God. I am the Lord your God, you will have no other gods before me. Keep the holy the Sabbath day. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The other seven commandments begin with honor your father and your mother. And why is that? It's from our parents that we receive life to begin with. And our parents are the first teachers of the ways of faith as well as of how to be a human being. I remind parents at every baptism that I have that, you know, you can tell your kids all you want. You can give them all the rules possible, but your kids will not do everything that they told you to do. And I think all of us adults would agree with that we did not do everything our parents told us as kids. However, the older we get, the more like our parents we become. And it can be terrifying sometimes. But it's absolutely true. The older that we get, the more like our parents we be. It becomes very evident. It's just something natural that happens. We take on their particular traits. Therefore, I tell every father, what kind of man you want your son to be that man yourself. What kind of man do you want your daughter to marry? Again, be that man yourself. And likewise for women, I'll say, whatever kind of woman you want your daughter to grow up to be that woman yourself. Always what kind of woman you want your son to marry? Again, model it by being that yourself. Kids don't do what we tell them to do, but they follow our example. And the question is, what kind of example are we giving them? God is the origin of human matrimony. It was God himself who made our first parents, Adam and Eve. And the scriptures are quite clear about that, that God first makes Adam in his image and likeness, meaning that God, Adam had, like God, the ability to think rationally, to love unconditionally, and he had a free will. Adam did not have a rapport with the rest of creation because they were not made in God's image and likeness like he was. And God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. It wasn't just because Adam was lonely, but because Adam was made in God's image. And God himself is a community of persons. Three persons made one by complete mutual self-giving love. You've heard me say that many times. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit make up one God in three divine persons who are co-equal in divinity and in majesty. What makes the three persons one is that love, the love that God the Father has for the Son, that is the Word, Jesus. The Word, of course, in turn loves the Father. That love exchange between the Father and Son generates the Holy Spirit. So the family then, likewise, was designed by God to be distinct, male and female, who in complete mutual self-giving love come together, give themselves to each other, and bring forth new life. In that, the family becomes the mirror image of the Holy Trinity. And God, of course, is at the very center of it all. He is the origin of this. He told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. But the great killer of marriage is selfishness, to think that we're better than God, we can do more than God, and that we don't need one another. That was the original sin, self-sufficiency. I don't need God, I don't need you. That destroyed our first parents' relationship with God, and of course with each other, and the rest of creation. That's the problem that we have today. We all want to be independent. We say we don't need anybody else, and so that independency destroys the love that we have, that complete mutual self-giving love that God calls us to, and makes us each individualistic and tearing at each other like the animals. That was never God's intention. In marriage, a man must love his wife more than he loves himself. A woman must love her husband more than she loves herself. And parents must love their children more than they love themselves. And what is love but wanting nothing else but the good of the other? That a man will sacrifice himself for everything for his wife and children. A wife will do the same for her husband and children. And children, out of love for their parents, will be there to obey them when they're young and to take care of them when they are old. Why is that important? Whatever we do in the family will happen in society. It begins with the nuclear family of parents and children. It extends to the larger family of grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins, and it continues on to society at large. In the family, we teach children how to be human beings. We teach children how to be Christians, how to be the people that God wants us to be. Thus in family, St. Paul says, as God's chosen ones, put on heartfelt compassion. That family members have compassion for one another. They treat one another with kindness and humility, with gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. It happens in the family of the home, it extends to the family of the church, and we as the family of the church bring this into the wider world itself. As God has forgiven us, we must also forgive one another. And in all these things, to put on love. To put on love. That's how families begin, because a man and woman fall in love. And that love pervades the love of their children, and love from a family extends. Over all these things, put on love, that is the bond of perfection. And in this, let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which we were called into that one body. And be thankful. Be thankful. The old saying is true. The family that prays together stays together. If a husband and wife do not pray with each other and for each other, if families don't pray together, if they don't come to Mass together, if Christ himself is not at the very center of their lives as a couple and as a family, everything falls apart. It's only God who is love who can teach us how to love and put on that bond of love. Therefore, St. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In wisdom, teach one another. Admonish one another. It's okay for parents to correct their children, show them right from wrong. It's okay for husbands and wives to help each other become better and move out of bad habits and acquire good ones. Might take some nagging sometimes, but again, even that's done in love. But together we're here to praise God, singing psalms, hymns, and songs with gratitude. And keeping in mind that whatever we do in word or deed, if it's done in the name of Christ, becomes a holy thing. Coming to Mass is the apex of it all. Worship of God is primary, but even something as mundane as sweeping a floor or going grocery shopping or changing a tire, those things become sacred moments because we're always in the presence of God and God's presence is always in us. Therefore, when these things are done in love, they become sacred. Whatever we do in word or in deed, we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If there's anything that our world needs today, brothers and sisters, it's genuine Christians, people who actually believe in Jesus Christ, who imitate Jesus Christ, who love God and love one another, and do so firmly. But not only that, we need strong families. Families who indeed have a unity that nothing but God can give. Now, of Adam and Eve and God's intention, Jesus himself said, therefore a man shall leave from his father and mother. In the beginning, that's what God intended. In the beginning, God made them male and female, and that because of this, a man will leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and vice versa, and the two become one flesh. Therefore, what God joins together, no man can put asunder. It's to work for that unity, to work for that peace, and in that peace, to bring forth a family and raise that family in the ways of the gospel. This is what the world needs. Families who are the first teachers of their children in the ways of faith, who educate them well and teach them to be fully human, fully Christian, fully alive. In imitating Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, the Holy Family, may the peace of Christ control our hearts. May the word of Christ, may his very presence dwell in us richly, that we can be a family called by God to be truly holy and blameless in his sight.